ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
You can hide it from people, but you can't hide it from God, as Paul said in Hebrews 4:13. There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom he must give account. But again, they thought they can get away with it. And when you're living in sin, that's kind of the idea. You think you can get away with it. They didn't see a problem in what they were doing. And God says, you're wrong. You're going into captivity because of your actions. And remember, our focus here in these verses in Judges chapter 6, you know, the bondage of sin. When we turn from God, we're in sin, and sin brings us into bondage. And I realize that people who are living in sin obviously don't see it that way. They think they're free, they're doing whatever they want, God's on their side. If what you're doing goes against the Word of God, God's not on your side in your actions. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 8, verses 34 through 36? Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. In other words, you're in bondage, right? And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Notice our freedom is in Jesus. We're set free from sin, and we shall be free indeed. You know, Paul in Romans 6, chapter 6, verse 6, said, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Paul opens up using this Greek word know or knowing, gnosko. It speaks of taking in knowledge, the process of learning. And Paul's telling us, look, we need to take this in. We need to learn this by experience. Why? Because if we're going to live and have that freedom from sin's ability to control our lives, we need to understand these things. We need to apply these things to our lives. We need to grow in our relationship with God. And Paul wants us to know that the old man is dead. What does it mean that the old man was crucified with him or crucified with Christ? Some say the old man is speaking of our old nature, but I don't think that is correct. You see, Paul tells us in Ephesians 4:22 that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitfulness of lust. The Living Bible says, then throw off your old evil nature, the old you that was a partner in your evil ways, rotten through and through, full of lust and shame. I think that kind of gives us a big picture of it. And I don't think Paul's speaking in Ephesians here of our old sin nature that we inherited from Adam. Because our old sin nature doesn't grow corrupt. Our old sin nature is corrupt. It's just the way it is. I think Paul is speaking of our former behavior, the way we once lived. The old nature is, again, what we inherited from Adam. Remember, think about this. When Adam sinned, God removed Adam and Eve from the garden, and he put a cherubim with a flaming sword at the entrance. Why? Why would he do that? Because he didn't want Adam and Eve to go and partake of the tree of life and to live forever in this condition. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because this flesh and blood, this body, has the inherited sin of Adam. And we must be transformed. We're going to get a new body. So this is not, Paul's not talking about our old nature. He's talking about the old man. Our old ways, the things we did in the past. And let's face it, you know, some of us have come out of conditions that were really serious, you know, drug addiction or whatever. But it doesn't matter where you came from, you're not living there anymore. Because the old man was crucified with Christ. You're a new creation in Christ. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And Paul says, you know, that the body of sin might be done away with. What does that mean, done away? Well, Kenneth Weiss, he's a Greek scholar, said that according to the rules of Greek syntax, all of the references to sin in chapter 6 of Romans are actually referring to the sin nature. So what Paul is really saying is the body of the sin nature. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones put this, that Paul is talking about the old nature and its influence on our physical body. The body itself is not sinful. It's just the body. It's kind of like, you know, I'll use the example of computers. Computers in and of themselves are not evil, but they can be used for evil. And that's with these bodies. And we have this inherited sin nature. And that's the problem for us. You see, the body can be controlled by the old sinful nature or by our new nature in Christ. You see, those are the options. That's what makes the difference. Who's controlling your life? And I like what my pastor had to say regarding this. He said, a tremendous fact is introduced here. The old man, the old me, the old life was crucified with Christ so that the physical body need not be controlled by the sin nature any longer. Absolutely. I share with you 2 Corinthians 5:17, that we're a new creation in Christ. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have been new. In other words, all those things of the past, they're gone. The old man was crucified. I'm a new creation now. This is how I should be living. That's an awesome thing. I don't have to live like an old man, even though I am an old man. But you know what I mean. I'm a new creation in Christ. And now the Holy Spirit is controlling my life if I surrender to him. That phrase, that the body of sin might be done away with, in the Greek is katargeo. And it doesn't mean destroyed or eradicated, I'm sorry to say. It's a phrase that means rendered inoperative, made ineffective. It no longer exerts a controlling force or power upon my life. And there are some people who believe once you come to Christ, you sin no more. But that's not possible because we have this sin nature. And as Paul said in Galatians, the flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. Why? Because we still have that sin nature in us. It won't be done away with until we go to be with the Lord. We get our new bodies. We still got to deal with that. That sin nature is still alive, that old sin nature. But here's the key, and this is something we need to remember because we lose sight of this. The old man is dead. The body's no longer controlled by our bond to it. It's not forced to be the instrument through which the sin nature expresses itself. I'm so thankful for that. You know, remember the old Flip Wilson thing? The devil made me do it. It's not really true. We have a choice. Who are we going to surrender to? And think about it like this. Before you were saved, before Jesus was your Lord and Savior, your body was the instrument of your sin nature because the old you, the old man, was the slave to your fallen sin nature. It just followed along. But what did Paul say? That the old man was crucified with Christ. The old man's dead. It was buried with Christ. And now the new man with the new nature was born in you. You're a new creation. And this new man wants to use your body as an instrument of righteousness, godliness, and so on. Yeah, the old nature is still there, but it doesn't have the old man to work through. Why? Because the old man was crucified with Christ. You know, Paul in Colossians 3, verses 8 through 10 put it like this. But now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Absolutely. Put these things off, but you have a choice, don't we? You know, do we ever get mad? Yeah, someone cuts me off the road. Right away, the flesh is right there ready to get really mad. Who am I going to surrender to? You see, that's really the key. Who is going to control the new man that you are in Christ? You know, I'm so thankful we have that opportunity, that choice. It gives us the ability to lay our lives down and say, Lord, use me. Help me. Help me to live a life that would honor you, that would reflect the new nature that I have. You know, again, having that old nature in there is always a battle. But we have the new body, you might say. The old man's dead, the new man is alive. Who are you surrendered to? What are you filling yourself up with? And, you know, with this whole, you know, stay-at-home order from the governor, what I think we are missing, because, you know, we have worship, which is awesome. I'm so thankful Art's doing that. We have the teaching of God's word. Praise the Lord, we're able to do that. But the one thing we're missing is fellowship. And what fellowship does is it keeps us accountable in our walk. I think that's really important. Because, again, the flesh wages war against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. We're in a battle. And in the days we're living in, it gets more and more intense. You know, you could feel however you want with the whole coronavirus and the stay-at-home orders and all that other stuff. But I can honestly tell you that I'm not angry, I'm not mad. I don't even post on Facebook any of the stuff about this anymore. It's not worth it because there are both sides. And what happens is I see some Christians who are doing battle with each other over this. No, especially not on Facebook. If you want to do it face-to-face, go for it, man. I don't care. But be kind, okay? But on Facebook, it's a social media thing. That's not where you do battle, okay? Why isn't this bothering me? Why isn't it making me angry? Because God has already told me what's going to happen. So I don't need to be angry. I don't need to be mad. Because here's the thing. If this is going to move you from following what the Lord is saying, that you're going to be angry, you're going to say things that you shouldn't say, then what's going to happen when the next thing comes down the pike? And I guarantee you it will. I wasn't going to share this with you, but I guess I will just because no one here is complaining. There's one of the states on the East Coast, I believe it is, wants to monitor how people are social distancing themselves during this whole lockdown with the coronavirus. And they're using drones. And they're using a business called Dragonfly. And this is what's being used in China. Dragonfly with cameras in China, all over the place in China, are able to do facial recognition, and within a few minutes they can find someone they're looking for. And that's what they want to use in this state to make sure people are social distancing. You think, well, how are they going to track them down? Most people are on Facebook. Their picture is there. Most people have driver's license. Their picture is there. So what we're seeing is a prelude to socialism, where the government has control over every aspect of your life. The book 1984 by George Orwell, you know, fictional story, not real. I don't know. I look at it now and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what George Orwell wrote in 1984 is being played out for us today. How are we going to respond to these things? Remember, the Lord's already told us that we're moving towards a one-world government. How are we going to respond to this? Do you ever think about that? By being a witness of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. In fact, in Isaiah, God said, I've already told you these things that are coming to pass. Do not fear, do not be afraid. You are my witnesses. That's what the church is about. Witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we allow that old nature to control our new man, how are we going to respond? Well, anger, being, you know, mad and lashing out, protesting or whatever. Or are we going to let the Spirit of God guide us and say, I wonder what the Lord's going to do through this? I wonder how he's going to use this, maybe to stir the church or to help people see how important fellowship is, or reaching out to people and calling them and asking them how they're doing. For me, one of the things that it's done for me, instead of, you know, posting or being involved in arguments on Facebook, is what it's done for me is I'm posting Bible verses. Someone suggested that to me, and they're helping me out with this, getting these out there. Why? And I don't put any comments, any words on it. I just put the Bible verse up there. Why? Because God's word is living and powerful, and it's able to transform lives. I would encourage you, go do that. You never know the people you're going to reach with those verses. And even Christians who are struggling, and all of a sudden they're looking on Facebook and they're overwhelmed at what's going on, and they see a Bible verse and God speaks to their heart. Brings them comfort, encouragement, sometimes correction when needed. That's our God. There is a battle going on, make no mistake about it. Paul in Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 32, he wrote this. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Here's Paul admonishing them. I don't want you to go down this path. I don't want you to do these things. This is what the Gentiles did. I don't want you to go back because you came out of that. They walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Look at that. Paul's saying, get rid of that old man. He's crucified. Don't let him resurrect himself. He's dead. You're a new man in Christ. Live accordingly. Well, what's the old man like? Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. In other words, Paul's saying, you guys got to walk in that newness of Christ. Don't be taken captive by Satan. Don't go let the old man resurrect himself. Don't let that old nature control the new man. Walk in the Spirit. And you think, and again, we were talking about the southern kingdom of Judah and how bad they had gotten. You know, we read about the northern kingdom of Israel. We know they were bad. But listen to what we're told in Jeremiah 11:13. For according to the number of your cities were your gods, O Judah, and according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem, you have set up altars to that shameful thing, altars to burn incense to Baal. Let me ask you this. Do you really think anyone in the southern kingdom of Judah saw this coming? They didn't. Life went on, and a compromise here, a compromise there, and it led to more and more complacency. And before you knew it, they had as many gods as they had cities. They had altars set up on every street to worship these gods. That is the southern kingdom of Judah. And the solution for them and for us is to repent. Return to the Lord. We see this over and over in the book of Judges. Sin brings you into bondage, and you become a slave to sin as you move farther and farther away from God. Repent and get right. I mean, 40 years of peace and prosperity, it led them to complacency and apostasy, and God oppressed them by the hands of the Midianites. And the Midianites were blood relatives. Half-brothers of the children of Israel for Midian was the son of Abraham and his wife Keturah. And for 7 years now, they oppressed the children of Israel. And that's, you know, you think, well, 7 years isn't bad. It's not like 40 years, right? But when you look at what they were doing, it could have been a lifetime. But what I want you to see here is the difference of walking with the Lord and walking apart from him. They're in bondage for one simple reason. They walked away from the Lord. Now they're, what, hiding in caves and dens. And if you read on here in Judges chapter 6, you see that they were not even allowed to harvest their grain without the Midianites coming in and stealing it. And we'll talk about that more as we read over this the next few weeks. But what is it like to walk with the Lord? What is the picture that we see for those who are following God? In Deuteronomy 32, verses 12 through 14. So the Lord alone led him, and there was no foreign God with him. He made him ride in the heights of the earth, that he might eat the produce of the field. He made him draw honey from the rock and oil from the flinty rock, curds from the cattle and milk of the flock, with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the choicest wheat. And you drank wine, the blood of grapes. You see, they followed the Lord, and the Lord blessed them. That's what Moses is saying. They're riding in the high places. They're not hiding in caves. But Moses also tells them, or warns them, and he wants them to remember this, in Deuteronomy 32, verses 15 through 25. But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You grew fat and you grew thick. You are obese. Then he forsook God who made him, and scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with foreign gods. With abominations, they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons, not to God. To gods they did not know. To new gods, new arrivals, that your fathers did not fear. Of the rock who begot you, you are unmindful, and have forgotten the God who fathered you. And when the Lord saw it, he spurned them because of the provocation of his sons and his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end will be. For they are a perverse generation, children in whom is no faith. They have provoked me to jealousy by what is not God. They have moved me to anger by their foolish idols. But I will provoke them to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move them to anger by a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in my anger and shall burn to the lowest hell. It shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap disasters on them. I will spend my arrows on them. They shall be wasted with hunger, devoured by pestilence and bitter destruction. I will also send against them the teeth of the beast with the poison of serpents of the dust. The sword shall destroy outside. There shall be terror within for the young man and virgin. Why did they fall? They fell because prosperity led them to complacency, moved them away from God. You see, when things are going well, do you really need God? Yeah, you do. But our mentality is we don't. I'm satisfied. I have everything that I need. Why do I need God at this point? And there's a dangerous place to be. Israel was very, very blessed. And they turned from God, thought they didn't need him any longer. And in their prosperity, it led to complacency. They turned away from the true and living God. They turned to idols, really demons. And isn't it interesting what people turn to when they turn away from the true and living God? They turn to idols, false gods. And not talking about necessarily statues. It could be a car. It could be this, whatever. But it is interesting what they turn to. And they can't help. In fact, these false gods, these demons, in a sense, will kill and destroy people's lives. Because their master, Satan, that's exactly what he does. In Jeremiah 2:13, God warned his people. He said, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So these false doctrines, these false religious teachings, these false religious systems can hold water. They're empty. They're full of holes. And they depart from the Lord as they are drawn into these things. And now they're in bondage to the devil, the flesh, the world. But we have God's truths. We have his word, which is pure, it's living, it's powerful, and it's life-giving and it's life-sustaining. You see, the philosophies of the world are empty. The world's religions are empty. And yet when you turn away from the true and living God, what do you have left? You have nothing. But that's where you gravitate to. We're all drawn to worship something. Even people who are atheists and agnostics, think about it. What is their religion? Naturalism. They believe in evolution. That's their God. They turn away from the true and living God. They believe this all happened by random chance processes. This is their faith. This is their religion. This is what they believe. And it's empty. It holds no water. So here in Judges 6, verses 1 and 2, we see the bondage of sin. But there's more to it than that. And as we read on, listen to the bondage of the Midianites brought upon the children of Israel in the next few verses as we look at how sin robs us.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.